Welcome to Reading Under the Covers, a romance novel podcast. I'm Francesca from Under the Covers Book Blog, and today I am doing my mid-year Romanceopoly update with you guys. I'm going to talk about the books that I have read for the challenge, what are the standouts, and kind of what are my thoughts about where I'm at with the challenge. So if you're participating in the challenge, I hope that you join me. I have probably posted most of these already in the Under the Covers community as I was reading them, so you probably already saw that if you're a member there. And if you missed it, maybe some of these will be of interest for you if you are participating as well and maybe stuck on some of these prompts. So I can't wait to get started. I have read quite a few books that I have really enjoyed this year for Romanceopoly, and I can't wait to continue and read more. So let's just get started. The first prompt that I finish is for Sleuth Street, which just happens to be the first prompt in the challenge anyway, and I am going for the prompts as opposed to just the genres. For the challenge, you can actually read the prompt or just the genre assigned for each of the cards. And this one is to read a thriller or mystery that features an amateur sleuth. For this one, I read The Wife Before by Shanora Williams. Shanora Williams is a romance author, but she also writes mystery books, which I think her mystery books are also really good, especially if you don't want like a mystery that's super heavy or even too thrillery. So I think it's a very entry point if you are more of a romance reader, but wanting to dip your toes into the mystery genre. I gave The Wife Before 4 stars. It is actually my favorite book that I've read of her mysteries. I have not read actually her romances, only her mysteries. And in this one, we have a woman who starts dating a renowned pro golfer, and everything seems like a fairy tale with their dating. He's like the perfect guy. That is until she finds out that his first wife died under very mysterious circumstances, and he's always been the principal suspect, at least as public opinion goes. So she has to navigate this life of living almost a perfect relationship with him, while at the same time having all these doubts about whether he was involved or what really happened. And she does discover the wife's diary, and she tries to uncover what happened to his wife. Was he involved? Is she in any danger as well? And maybe that danger is not necessarily coming from him. Like I said, 4 stars. I really enjoyed it. It definitely has a more laid-back vibe at first, and then once the mystery and all the sleuthing started happening, it was a little bit farther along in the story, but at that point I was really hooked in this book. So I think it's a great option, especially if you're looking for a summer read that has a little bit of mystery in it. Next, I completed the Killer Crescent prompt, which is to read a thriller mystery set outside of your country. So for me, it had to be a mystery or thriller that is not set in the United States. And for this one, I picked up a recommendation from someone on our Facebook page, and I just had to read it because it was recommended as being comparable to Agatha Christie's novels, and I happen to love Agatha Christie. So I had to just impulse buy it and read it. And the book is The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder by C.L. Miller. I ended up giving this one 3 stars. It does have kind of like that old style sleuthing vibe of an Agatha Christie novel, but I can't say that it lived up to the promise of an Agatha Christie novel. I think that's just because, you know, she's Queen Agatha Christie. But it was still entertaining, a little bit of a slower read, and it does involve antiques as part of kind of like the mystery and the investigation. Basically, what antique would you kill for? So I did find that aspect of the story interesting, but maybe the character is not as compelling as I would have liked. Continuing on the board, I did read The Library Spot, and for that, I actually took something off of my TBR that's been there since 2020. And I've been so excited to read this book, and I don't know why I postponed it, but I read American Demon by Kim Harrison. It was probably one of my first, or if not my first, 5-star read of the year. I absolutely loved it. It is set in the same world as The Hollows, so it is kind of like a continuation of that series. Although, if I remember correctly, when American Demon came out, it was marketed more as a spinoff, but basically it just felt like going back into the series and just continuing, which I am not mad about. It is a series that I absolutely love, so I am always for reading more in that series. It is not a book that I would consider you can pick up if you haven't read the first, I think it's like 14 books in the series. But it definitely felt like a treat for me as a fan of the series to go back into the world, especially after knowing or thinking that the series was completely done for. So American Demon was very intense in a way that some of the later books in the Hollows series also had that intensity. intensity, and this picked up on that same vibe as well, which I absolutely loved. And we have the same amazing cast of characters, obviously our heroine, Rachel Morgan, and because I don't want to spoil the biggest part of the Hollow series, I'm not going to say anything else about the characters or who she's with or any of that, because those are important plot points of the Hollows series in general. So I'm not going to say too much about this one, but just know 5 stars, absolutely loved it. And it is one of my favorite urban fantasy series. So if you haven't started reading it yet, you definitely should. The next challenge is the bar. And for this one, the prompt is to read a book where one of the main characters has a strong group of friends. And for this, I went new adult and I did The Graham Effect by L. Kennedy, which is the first book in the Campus Diaries series. I was a little behind on this series, even though I'm a massive fan of L. Kennedy. And I ended up reading this one in preparation for The Dixon Rule that came out also this year. And I read both, loved both. Both are 4-star reads for me. And both also have that strong sense of friendships. But I really love The Graham Effect because it is the second generation from the off-campus series. And the heroine in this book is actually the daughter of one of my favorite couples in the off-campus series. Plus, both the heroine and the hero play hockey. And I would say that both of them have their own very strong group of friends, but especially our female main characters has a very strong group of friends, which definitely made her very endearing. And the book is just as hot as everything else that L. Kennedy has written. Plus, there's plenty of hockey, and it was just all around amazing. I can't recommend it enough. Not only if you're a massive fan of the off-campus series like I am, because you definitely need to read The Second Generation and absolutely live for all the cameos from our favorite characters in the main series. But in general, if you're a fan of sports romances, I think that L. Kennedy writes amazing sports romances, especially hockey romances, and you just can't miss those. Those are on your must read if you haven't tried them. The next challenge is BFF's House, and the prompt is to read a contemporary romance where one of the main characters is a geek or a gamer. I went with another one that I wanted to get off my TBR because I fell behind on one of my favorite authors, and the book is For You and No One Else by Ronnie Lauren. I can't recommend this series enough. I think that if you haven't tried it, it is a great entryway for reading Ronnie Lauren's books, especially as these are a little bit less theme than her erotic ones, which actually that is one of my favorite series of all time and definitely still my favorite series by her. But this is right up there as well with that. And I just really love this book. We have the hero who is a geek. He's a hacker, works in cybersecurity. He has his own office or workspace at a co-working place, and he basically works across the hall from the heroine, who is building a YouTube channel for her psychology or therapy sessions. She has a horrible date with this guy, and he ends up posting something online which makes her look really bad, and from the backlash, she decides to take some time off of social media. And the hero introduces her to a bit of digital minimalism and brings her to some no phone parties where, you know, they're just living in the moment. So it was all a great experience and added a lot of character development and growth for her as well as the hero. We know there's something going on with him, but they really start off their relationship as very good friends, which I always love. And he is also younger than her. All around, love that book, and I can't recommend it enough. So definitely, I think it's a great choice for this prompt if you haven't read one yet. The next one that I completed is another library spot. And for this one, I read Forged by Magic by Jenna Wolfhard. It's book 1 in the Falling for Fables series. It is a cozy fantasy romance, which I haven't read a lot of, but this one was really, really good. I definitely want to go back and read the rest of the series. I did pick it up on Kindle Unlimited because the cover just spoke to me. It is so adorable. It is a female orc assassin trying to earn her freedom from this evil, overbearing, horrible king, and she ends up in a small town on her assignment, cohabitating and kind of falling in love with a fey blacksmith during the town's magical games while she's trying to hunt down dragons, which is basically her task, so she can have her freedom. Can't recommend it enough. It was super cute. next challenge that I completed is the farmer's market, and that is to read a magical realism book. I happen to have read a couple of magical realism books so far this year, which I am excited for. But the one that I read for this challenge is Old Flames and New Fortunes by Sarah Hoggle. This was my first time reading this author. So this is a second chance romance. It has a wedding theme throughout, and it's perfect for spring in my opinion, but I think it would also be a great read to pick up in the summer. The heroine's magical ability has to do with flowers and basically adding a magical touch to her flower arrangements. When it comes to the wedding theme, it's actually her kind of a co-worker's parent that's marrying her ex-boyfriend's mom. So of course the ex is coming back to town and he thinks that she's actually dating this co-worker. So there is a little bit also of fake dating going on, but not between the main couple that the romance is about. I think overall it was just a really nice, soothing, fast, and kind of cute read, which I just blew through reading because it was very easy to get lost in. So I definitely recommend it when you want something that is no pressure, a little bit of fun, and a little bit of magic. For the next challenge that I completed is The Gym. And now for this one, you can kind of say that I went with the genre prompt instead of like the actual prompt, but in a roundabout way, it kind of works both ways. I don't really know what's the book that I have on my TBR the longest, which is what the prompt is, but the genre was contemporary romance. And what I ended up reading for it is Body Check by Elle Kennedy. And the reason why I feel like this works really well, because it combines both of them, is Body Check is a reissue in July, so it technically could be considered a new release. However, it was Elle Kennedy's first adult hockey romance, which was published a long time ago, I think through the regular like Harlequin Presents line or the Harlequin Spice or something like that. So I've wanted to read this book for a really long time. I do know that. Pretty much since I discovered Elle Kennedy when I started reading her romantic suspense. So it's safe to say that this book has been on my TBR for quite some time, but it also fits the genre prompt. So yeah, I definitely recommend this one. I'm kind of kicking myself for not reading it sooner. It is just a great, great hockey romance. And I tend to read Elle Kennedy's hockey romances as new adults. So it definitely felt really good to read something that's adult. The hero is obviously a hockey player and the heroine is the daughter of the team's owner, but he doesn't know that. They have a one-night stand at a bar, no names. She doesn't know where her life should be going. She's on break with her boyfriend in that relationship because she's just trying to figure out what she should be doing with her life. And definitely having a hot one-night stand was something that she was game for at the moment, and happy that she wouldn't have to see him again. Not because she didn't like him, but because of where her head is at. When she goes to see her father, who happens to be there on the ice, is him. And I actually really like the fact that he was the one that really wanted to pursue a relationship. So you can kind of say that the hero falls first. And of course, it is super steamy. So I think if you like hockey romance, definitely pick this one up. The next one that I read is the third and final library spot. And for that, I also picked something that I was really, really anticipating. And that is Dane's Mark by Laura Lee. This is book 33 in the Breed series. And when I tell you that I've been waiting for this book for years, I probably have been waiting for this book since I think at least book 7 or 8 in the series. Maybe even before. Maybe it was book 4 in the series. It's been a really long time. And I was a little bit scared because of the anticipation. But I have to say that it was just really well done. And even with all that pressure that I'm sure the author had to feel for doing justice to this story, I think that she did a really great job. We have kind of like a billionaire hero. It is more of a paranormal romantic suspense, fated mate story. It has a bit of a touch of sci-fi as well within the series, or how the world, the paranormal world, is structured. I just absolutely love this series. I know that it can be a little bit wild at times, especially at the very beginning, because the first few books are just really out there and really crazy, especially they're what I would consider more erotica at the very beginning of the series. But they do change in tone, I want to say maybe after books 3 or 4. Definitely, I think book 3 was a bit of a change in tone, but maybe does take a couple of books more to really get in the groove of how the series really is. So if you're going to pick up the series, it's one that you want to stick with for some time, just going prepared for that. And you really can't skip them because the first few books give you the main information of what the world is and, you know, what things are structured like and who are these breeds and how they came to be and all of that. So you do need to have that background knowledge, which is just so much easier if you pick it up from reading those first few books. But I absolutely love it. You know, there are some duds here and there, but this one, happy to report that I did enjoy it. I rated it 4 stars, and where I was a little bit worried that Dane would be almost too alpha, especially when it comes to his mate, I think that he was just the right amount of alpha, just slightly overbearing, but also I think respectful and knowing when to give his heroine space and when he needed to let her be successful in her field and take the risks that she needed to take for her job and for her interests, basically letting her develop into a full person and pursue her passions. So I really enjoyed it. Super glad that it was really good. The next one that I completed is The Coffee Shop. And the prompt for that is to read a book where the main characters have a working relationship. So either a boss, employee, client, student, teacher, anything like that. And for that, I ended up reading a student teacher romance. And that was I Wish I Would Have Chosen You by Whitney G. I ended up giving this 3.5 stars. It definitely has a heavy touch of forbidden romance in Taboo. So it might be a book that will make some people a little bit uncomfortable, but I gobbled this up in one sitting. I started probably at 9 o'clock at night thinking I'm going to read a little bit before I go to bed. And I just read the whole thing before going to sleep because it was so addictive. Not without problems, but so addictive. I definitely recommend. The next challenge I finished is Spring. And that is to read a book where either it has green, pink, or an animal on the cover, or if it's set during a road trip or a vacation. And for this one was definitely a vacation with a little bit of road trip as well. It is a historical romance, which is a little bit different when it comes to thinking of a vacation theme romance book, but it was so fun to see. And the book is Earl's Trip by Jenny Holiday. It definitely hit all the spring vibes when I read it. And it's a group of friends, basically 3 Earls, or one is a future Earl, but they've been very good friends for many years, and they have a standing yearly trip, which is gentlemen's only. Every year they alternate, and one of them is in charge of setting everything up. And this year was set up by kind of like the one that is not usually very organized. So the plan is that they are going to go to this castle and everything is supposed to be amazing. Fun fact, it was a little bit dilapidated and the staff was certainly lacking. So they definitely have an interesting vacation. But it starts off even more interesting when on their way out of town, they are basically asked to go rescue one of the hero's childhood friends and neighbors. And it sounds like she's run off to get married, but most likely been kidnapped by this dubious character. And they decide to go on this trip to go rescue her. What they don't know is that her sister, who was actually this Earl's very good friend, childhood friend, she's also hot on the trails and wanting to rescue her sister. They all end up running into each other and the rescue happens. And then they all have to spend this vacation together, which definitely goes against all the rules of the gentleman only vacation of the Earl's trip. So it was so much fun seeing them together. It's definitely more of a sweet romance. I am not used to reading Jenny Holiday in historical romance. I think she has written other historical romances, but I did find that it felt a little bit more like a contemporary that was just set in historical times, as opposed to really getting into the vibe of a historical romance, if that makes sense. But all of that aside, I still really enjoyed the fact that it's a sweet childhood friends to lovers romance with plenty of humor as well. If you're looking for something lighthearted, this is a great one for that. I also completed the summer challenge, and that is to read a book where either Yellow, White, Water, or The Beach is on the cover, or if it's a celebrity romance. So the one I read is a celebrity romance, and it's The Backup Bride Proposal by J.C. Burton. It is set at a vineyard, which I also think it's great for the season. So at this vineyard, they're going to be filming a movie, so the whole crew is there and the movie stars, except the leading lady, who is actually going to be delayed because she's still wrapping up her previous project. And so they've requested that the wedding coordinator at the vineyard step in and sort of fill her role because they look a little bit similar. So they can continue doing the schedule and filming some of the scenes. They'll just do the ones where she can just stand in and kind of like be filmed from behind as a placeholder, basically, for where the main actress will be later on. That way there will be no delays. Of course, she has to agree to do that with the hot actor that is playing the leading role in the movie while both of them are staying at the vineyard. So there's a bit of forced proximity, a wedding theme, the vineyard setting, the celebrity romance, a small town as well. It was definitely a cute read, a little bit on the sweeter side than what I'm used to, but I feel like this whole series has a bit more of a sweet side than the steamier side that I'm used to reading from J.C. Burton. And I ended up giving this one 3.5 stars. The next one that I completed is Flirt's Corner. And the prompt for that is to read a contemporary romance that's either set in a small town or with the sibling's best friend trope. Bonus if it's both. And I did not get the bonus, but I did read a small town romance, and that is Off the Beaten Path by Madison Wright. This one has all the tropey goodness, and I picked this up also on a whim. It is not only small town, but it has a single dad. It's neighbors to lovers and enemies to lovers. The hero is not only a single dad, he's also a blue-collar hero. And they start off getting to know each other online through a dating app, so it is a bit of an online romance as well. So all the good stuff. It was really adorable. I really enjoyed it. I ended up giving it 4 stars. It is a closed-door romance, or kind of like, I guess it's called a sweet romance, so there is no sex in it. I don't think it was anything that I missed, although I certainly didn't know going into it that that's what it was going to be. But I can definitely recommend that it was super sweet. So when you're looking for something just lighthearted, fun, and something that you can read really fast, it is available on Kindle Unlimited, and the audiobook is available on Scribd. So definitely pick this one up. Next one is Amour Avenue. The prompt for this is to read a contemporary romance with a bad boy or ex-con hero. And I was really wanting to go for the ex-con hero. It is a prompt that I have completed for Romanceopoly when we've had it before, and I was really hoping to go for that, but I ended up going for the bad boy hero, and I read When We Lied by Claire Contreras. It's the second book in the Fairview hockey series. Both of the main characters are athletes. The hero is a hockey player. The heroine is a basketball player. I really love the fact that both of them had that in common. And I would say this is more of a romantic suspense. There is quite a bit of trigger warnings for this one, so definitely go check those out. I would recommend. And I also was not expecting it to be so steamy. It is super steamy, which threw me a bit for a loop at some times, but at others I was all on board for. It totally made sense. I have read this author in the past and I have really enjoyed her books, and I think that she just did a really great job with this one, both making you fall for the characters and making you really care for what they were investigating, which was basically the hero's sister's death, who also was the best friend of the heroine. Little bit of mystery, little bit of danger, definitely some trauma and trigger warnings, but ultimately a hero that once he falls in love, that is the girl, and he's been obsessed with her, a little bit stalkerish, but basically from the moment he saw her, she was the one, even though he didn't want to admit that. So I really love that aspect of the story. I think that it was just textbook, great, angsty romance. And I will definitely have to go back and read book one in the series. Next one that I completed was Courtship Row. That is to read a historical romance featuring a heroine with an unconventional profession for the time. And for that, I read Wake Me Most Wickedly by Felicia Grossman, which is book 2 in the Once Upon the East End series. And basically, her job was working for the organized crime or for the highest bidder in search for whatever they needed, whether it was information, people, whatever. This is a class differences romance as well. And as much as her profession should lead you to believe it's going to be a little bit of a darker theme, I actually found this book to be very lighthearted and sweet in a way, even though it does have some danger and some mystery element to the story. But yeah, ultimately, this was a really sweet read. I didn't feel that I was missing anything from the story or from enjoying the plot because of the fact that I hadn't read book one. I did give this 3.5 stars. I don't know if it's necessarily left me itching to either read the first one or continue reading the series, but it was still an enjoyable read. Up next, I read For Past Eves, which the prompt says to read a historical romance that isn't set outside of the UK. So basically, it's England, Scotland, Wales, or Northern Ireland as the setting. That leaves it pretty open to most of the historical romance genre, but I did want to read something with a bit of diversity because my original intention for this prompt was that it should say it wasn't set in the UK. So yeah, a little bit of a typo by the time I realized we had already released all the information for the challenge. So it just stayed the way it is. But I ended up reading Anna Maria and the Fox by Liana de la Rosa, which is book number one in the Luna Sisters. And I absolutely loved it. This is another one that I've had on my TBR since it released. I think it was last year. And book two was coming out. I also read book two. So I'm happy that I've caught up with the series. It is a great series, especially if you want something a little bit different in your historical romance. Even though it's set in England, the heroine for this one is a Mexican heiress, and she's basically hiding in England with her sister. The hero is in politics, and he is the grandson of a black slave woman, and he's fighting to abolish the Atlantic slave trade. So I think that they make a great couple. Their romance was really seductive, but a little bit understated, which I really liked because he's more of a beta hero, especially when it comes to courting her. And I would say she's more of the one with the bright personality. Kind of opposites attract, but I really love them together. The next one I read is For the Vault, and that is to read a paranormal where the main characters are not witches or warlocks or vampires or shifters. And for that, I went with demons and I read The Legacy of Temptation by Larissa Ione, which is the first book in the next generation of the Demonica world. I think the series is called Demonica Birthright, and the hero of this book is the son of Death, was one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and is one of the books in the Demonica series, which I absolutely loved. It's one of my favorite books in that series. And we saw him throughout that series also go through some persecution as a baby. They wanted to kill him, basically. And the organization that was trying to kill him all those years back is one that he has to work with now. Basically, the heroine works for that organization. They want to get rid of demons, although they don't really know that they're working with demons. And of course, when they find out, all hell breaks loose. So it's really old school, amazing paranormal romance. You could technically start with this book, I think. You would not be too lost, but I definitely recommend that you read the whole series because you would be missing out on some amazing books. And this was another one of my very few five-star reads of the year. Next, for Ever After Street, which is to read a sapphic romance, I read Remedial Magic by Melissa Marr. I ended up giving this 3 stars. I really wanted to love this book, and it just did not deliver as much as I wanted. Although I have felt like that with Melissa Marr's books in the past. So maybe that's more of a me and her writing style not mashing. But this is a sapphic romance as one of the plots that are found throughout the book because it does have different subplots and different characters. I think my main trouble with it was that I felt like it gave me some mixed vibes. It had a bit of a cozy vibe, so it kind of could have been a cozy urban fantasy, but the stakes were too high for that. At the same time, it didn't quite deliver an exciting urban fantasy if the stakes were that high. So I feel like it had a bit of an existential crisis, whether it wanted to be cozy or high stakes and high action and all this drama. It felt sort of flat for both options. I guess I personally don't like those books that are in the middle. The romance also I felt was not too exciting. The plot also wasn't too exciting, and the characters were also a bit bland. But I kept reading it because the story did have a lot of potential. I was just left waiting for that to develop. Next, for Rainbow Row, which is to read any book featuring an LGBTQIA romance, I read The Honey Witch by Sydney J. Shields, and I picked this up because obviously the cover is so cute and it just gave me all the spring vibes as well. And I also saw that it's kind of like a Swiftie Easter egg kind of book. So I wanted to check it out, even though I'm not a diehard massive Taylor Swift fan. I just wanted to see what was in there. And definitely I was there for the magical realism spring vibes. I ended up giving this 3 stars. It does have a sapphic main romance and a gay side romance. We don't really get to see a lot of that developed, but it has magic and witches and bees and honey and a forbidden romance and a historical paranormal world, which was a perfect, quick, laid-back read for a cozy Sunday morning. And then I also read For Lover's Lane, which is to read a male-male romance, XOXO by Christina Lee. This is book one in the Roosevelt College series. It is a new adult romance set in college, and it's between a football player and a dancer. It is a very sweet romance. The main characters reconnect in college, but their connection was from when they were children and they were undergoing childhood cancer treatment together. At the same time, both beat it, and now they're both in college. It was cute. I ended up rating this one 3.75. Next, we have For Action Avenue, which is to read an urban fantasy with a magic user as the main character. And for that, I read Three Kinds of Lucky by Kim Harrison, which is the first in her new series. And we already talked about Rachel Morgan in this list here. And I think that this book, particularly the heroine, has a lot of vibes of Rachel Morgan in the Hollows series. So I'm going to consider it as the Hollows 2.0. And this being book one, I think that all of the things that I felt book one in the Hollows was really dragging and suffering from first book syndrome. This one didn't have that. It just jumped right into things, introducing us to the characters and making us really fall in love with the storyline and the characters and a little bit of romance as well. So I really enjoyed it and can't wait to read the next one. Then for City Lane, which is to read a funny urban fantasy, I'm so excited for this one because I read The Dead Guy Next Door by Lucy Score. And if you enjoy Dorinda Jones's Charlie Davidson series, I think this is going to be a must read. The heroine has this psychic ability, and it's not something that she's worked with or developed because she always felt that it was all fake and mumbo jumbo, but she has a vision of her next door neighbor being killed, basically almost disregards it, thinking that all these things she sees in her head are not true until it actually happens. And she finds herself in the middle of an investigation about what happened to him, who had him killed, all while developing her psychic abilities and working with the sexy PI that is in charge of investigating that as well. So a little bit of ghosts, a little bit of supernatural power, and a lot of crazy shenanigans and lots of fun and laughs. So definitely for fans of Dorinda Jones, must read. The next one that I completed is For Campus Corner, which is to read a book featuring any college sports. And for that, I read Stealing Home by Grace Riley, which is book 3 in the Beyond the Play series. This is set in college. The hero plays baseball, but it is just the cutest romance. Hero falls first. He's the sunshine. She's the grumpy. It was just really sweet, but also really steamy. And I can't wait to dive into the series more. I've read 2 books now. I gotta catch up on an old one and read the upcoming one. And that is basically all of the books that I have read so far for Romanceopoly. I am 59% complete. I have read 23 of the prompts out of 39. I am trying to do the complete board, and I definitely think that I can do this and finish before the end of the year. Like I said, I have one queued up that I'm going to be starting next, which is going to be for The Post Office, which is to read an epistolary romance. So I'm going to be starting that later today, and I did talk about that in our episode of epistolary romance recommendations. I decided to go for A Cosmic Kind of Love by Samantha Young. I'm super excited about it. It sounds like so much fun. I'll definitely report back and let you guys what I thought. I would love to know what you guys have read so far for the challenge, if you've enjoyed it, where you're at, how you're doing, and which prompts you're struggling with. We definitely want to work more on some recommendation episodes and lists for you guys to have. And if you're in our community, we will also be making available our old recommendation lists for the previous year's prompts as well, hopefully within the next couple of months. So if you complete the board for this year and you want to dive into even more prompts and challenges, you can always complete one of the previous year's prompts. We have 1 year that had 2 different prompt sets and our original year, which was 1 set. So there's definitely a lot of prompts and reading challenges for you to continue reading. As always, don't forget to follow the blog at underthecoversbookblog.com. We always have tons of new book recommendations for you there. Subscribe to our newsletter. We'll be in your inbox every single Sunday. You can follow us on social at UTC Book Blog on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest, and Under the Covers Book Blog on Facebook and YouTube. Happy reading, and we will catch you in the next one. Bye.